Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 330. There is a fountain, the blood, and the name. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on Sunday, August 13th, 2023 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So we do have people watching from other places, and that's why we do live stream. For those of you who live in the Fort Wayne area, you should be here in person. Praise the Lord. And if there's a reason you're not here in person, we can pray for you so that you can get here in person. Praise the Lord. Because God is good. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So a lot of stuff going on here this morning. We're so delighted that Adult and Teen Challenge has joined us here this morning to worship and praise the living God that sets people free. So great to have partners in the ministry. Coming into our city and those that are already in our city, we're not the only deal in this town, so we're proud of the body of Christ. We're proud that we can work together. We're proud that we can sow together. We're proud that we can reap together. And we're proud that we can rejoice together. So we're so glad that you are here, gentlemen. If you need a place to come after you leave Elkhart, Fort Wayne is a good place. Praise the Lord. They'll put you to work in the new center, I'm pretty sure, if you're willing and able. And God will get the glory, and this city will be blessed. So thank you for your testimony, gentlemen. God is doing a great thing. So while I'm sitting here, while we're worshiping and praising, I was just noticing, you know, when we were worshiping earlier in the service, the Spirit of God just moved into this place in an awesome way. And I don't know if you could kind of sense that, but sometimes when God manifests himself in certain ways, you can begin to recognize the different ways that he shows up. And one of the ways is with a spirit of prophecy. So I really felt like the spirit of prophecy came in when we were worshiping God this morning. So it's kind of hard. I'm here to bring the message. I'm a little bit torn between doing prophetic and just preaching the word and teaching the word. So we'll see how that goes. But there's also another aspect of the Spirit of God to bring deliverance and to bring blessing to people. So if you came to this service and you need freedom, you need blessing in your life, please don't leave without receiving everything you came to get, because God wants to do it more than even you want it to happen in your life. He is here, he is willing, he is ready, and it's one of the reasons that we gather together on a Sunday morning as an assembly. You know, the Bible says, don't forsake assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. So some people just, you know, they're just haphazard, they're not faithful, they just come and go. But the Word of God says that we should be faithful to assemble together. One of the reasons is because we need each other. Second reason is we need to reach out to others who really need him. Like, that's everybody, amen? Everybody really needs him. Sometimes we don't realize how much we need him. And so he wants to manifest himself in that way today. So if you came for freedom, if you came to receive something from God, I believe that you will not leave this place disappointed this morning. Praise the Lord. I don't know how God is going to do all of that and how we're going to pack that all into the next 20, 30 minutes or however long we end up being here. But it's not about time, really. It's about what does God want to do in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that's enough preachy before the preach. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I just had this other idea, you know, and these gentlemen were up here sharing, and when Tanya was so amazingly presenting the virtues of God, I had this idea. So I'm sort of kind of a businessman at heart. I was in business before I was in the ministry. I should have been in the ministry before I was in business. It would have helped a lot. It would have helped a lot if I had been in ministry before business, but anyway, it didn't work that way. So I was in business for a long time. So I'm always kind of thinking business. And so I thought as she was sharing the virtues of God, a great business idea just floated into my head. How about if we just franchise the virtues of God? It would be invaluable, right? If you could get all of those things that she had pasted all over herself, it would be amazing. So what we could do is we could actually make a business out of it and take the virtues of God and make them available at some kind of fee. You know, there's money in everything, right? And then we could franchise it and we could take it across the nation. And we could collect from them too. But of course, that's not how God works, right? All you have to do is get in the Word and let the Holy Spirit take the Word and put it inside of you. And to come and live inside of you, and the virtues of God begin to manifest themselves. Of course, you have to yield yourself to it, because you can walk away from anything that God does in your life. And sadly, we often, too often probably do that, and don't let those virtues manifest in us. But if you're here today, I know that God has brought you here for a purpose. So I want to start out with the blood of Jesus. There's an old hymn written by William Cooper in the 1700s. It goes like this. There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. You know, sometimes we've gone away from the old hymns, and I'm all for staying current and God doing new songs and putting new songs in our hearts. But sometimes the new songs have forgotten about the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus and other things that are really key and important and central to our Christian faith. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, these gentlemen couldn't stand before you and talk about how the truth has set them free. It's only through the blood and the power of the blood. So this gentleman, William Cooper, said, there's a fountain filled with blood. Maybe that's kind of old English for there's a wellspring of the blood of Jesus. And it came from Emmanuel's veins. Emmanuel was another name for Jesus, which we'll go into in just a minute or so. He paid a big price so that you and I could be set free. I know this is sort of like a sober message. You know, we want to be happy in church. But you can be happy that Jesus came. You can be happy that he was incarnate, that he was the Word made flesh that dwelt among us, that we could behold his glory, the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Because he's the only one who can set you free. He's the only one. His blood, his precious blood, is the only thing that can set you free. And this gentleman, William Cooper, though he was a man that was sort of plagued by depression, got a hold of a truth, the truth about the power of the blood of Jesus and the power of the name of Jesus, the power of Emmanuel, God with us. That name Emmanuel means God with us, or God became one of us. Why would God even bother doing such a thing? When you look around and you see the hopelessness in the world that's around us, you see the devastation in the world that's around us, you see the terrible tragedy and all of the craziness that's around us, you often wonder why God would bother. You know, there were a few times when in the Bible, it says that he got tired of what people were doing. I got so tired of it, and you know, maybe we would say sick and tired of it. I guess God can't get sick, but he got so angry at what people were doing, so frustrated that he wanted to kill them all and to start over. The Bible says that in a couple of cases. But then somebody stepped into the place and began to intercede for those people who were lost, like us, those people who were desperate, like us, those people who were ashamed, like us, those people who were needy, like us. Somebody stepped into the gap and began to pray and intercede to that God who has a heart of compassion and love and all of those virtues that Tanya displayed as she was ministering earlier in the service. And that God stepped in and made a way for those people where there wasn't any way. And that God still lives. That God is still alive. That God still is after you. That God is still chasing you down. That God still wants to bring you back if you've been straying away. That's the God who would leave the 99 and come for the one. That's the God we serve. The God who sent Jesus to shed his blood so that you and I could be set free. If there was no blood shed, the Bible says there could be no forgiveness of sins. The only way we could get set free was through the precious blood of Christ, the precious blood of Jesus. So in that song, this songwriter said that this blood was drawn from Emmanuel's veins. He didn't say Jesus. He said Emmanuel. So why was Jesus called Emmanuel? Well, it's explained in the book of Matthew a little bit, because it goes back to a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7, actually. But it's explained in Matthew that Joseph, Jesus' stepfather, had a dream. You know, after Mary got pregnant, she was a virgin and she got pregnant. It's not a good thing. And some of you gentlemen were talking about some of those issues that happen, you know, in people's lives. Joseph had a choice. He could put this woman away, break the engagement, which would disgrace her and her family, or he could marry her and basically be the stepfather of this baby that she was carrying. And he was wrestling with that idea, what should I do? I mean, it's like a real life situation that Joseph had, because he had a difficult choice to make. And while he was wrestling with this, the Bible said that he had a dream. Verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1 says, while he was debating within himself about what to do, he fell asleep and he had a supernatural dream. An angel from the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, descendant of David, don't hesitate to take Mary into your home as your wife and become, because the power of the Holy Spirit has conceived a child in her womb. And she gave birth to a son. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, or Savior. The Greek word is Iesus, which means Savior, for he is destined to give his life to save his people from their sins. And verse 22 says, this happened to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through his prophet. This is referring to the prophet Isaiah from chapter 7. Listen, a virgin will be pregnant. She will give birth to a son, and he will be known as Emmanuel, which means in Hebrew, God became one of us. So this is a pretty amazing thing. Why would God become one of us? Why would he want to become one of us? Well, it all goes back to the fall of Adam. When Adam and Eve sinned, God made a promise that from the seed of the woman would come a Savior, someone who would save them from their transgressions and from their sins. So God is a God who keeps his promises. That's why we encourage you, get in the Word of God and find the promise of God, because God is a promise keeper. You know, men break their promises and people break their covenants and all kinds of things, but God keeps covenant and he keeps his promise. And when he promised to send a Savior, he was sure to keep it, even though there was a season for it and it took thousands of years to fulfill. These prophecies from Genesis to the end of Malachi came true in the New Testament times and carry on into our own times. And some of those prophecies are yet to unfold. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back soon. And he's not coming like a baby. He's coming to ride a white horse and to take you home. What an amazing Savior we have. So this Jesus would be called Emmanuel. God became one of us. So that's where the term Emmanuel comes. So when this writer says, there was a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, he's saying that the blood that was shed for you and for me actually was God blood, because the blood in a child comes from the father. The mother was the incubator for this baby, but the egg was fertilized with the blood of God. I guess that's about the best way I can say it. So what happened was supernatural, so that when Jesus' blood was shed, it was the blood of God that was shed on the cross of Calvary, pure blood, holy blood, sinless blood. The man who didn't deserve to die, the man who didn't deserve to be crucified, the man who didn't deserve to be punished, he became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in him, so we could have right standing with God. It's an exchange that took place, his blood for ours, his punishment for ours, his death for ours, so that we could be raised as sons of God. What an amazing, amazing plan of God to be worked out through the generations and to be woven into the history that's recorded in the Bible from the beginning of the book to the end of the book. What amazing things we have before us, but we have to understand some of these things that are behind us so that we can walk in the freedom that God has for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that's where this name, Emmanuel, came from. Joseph was to call him Jesus or Savior. The Hebrew name for Jesus is really Yeshua or Yahshua, which means Yahweh is salvation, restoration, and deliverance. So it's implied in the text that is Hebrew or Aramaic speakers would obviously understand how the name Yeshua and salvation were linked. So sometimes, because, you know, we read a Bible that's translated from Greek, we just see Jesus and we just don't make the connections. We don't make the connections that this is Yeshua, the promised Savior, the one who would save people from their sins, but it's a name that means salvation, restoration, deliverance, healing, and a whole host of other things that come with salvation. So the same Jesus that died for your sins, he died for your deliverance. The same Jesus that died for your sins, he died for your healing. So if you could receive salvation, you can have your healing. You can receive your healing. You can walk in your healing. You can walk in your deliverance, because Jesus took your sins in his body on the tree, that you being dead to sin should live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. It's all one package. It's not some different deal. You don't have to try to get God to deliver you or set you free or heal you, because he's already done it when he sent Jesus to the cross. It's yours. It belongs to you. It's your right to be free, because Jesus paid the price, not with silver or gold, but with his own precious blood. The blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, the blood drawn from the God who is one of us, his veins, came to set you free. So this is how the Apostle Paul explained it in the book of Philippians, the second chapter. It just reiterates some of this, but I think it helps us to see the picture a little clearer. Philippians 2, verse 6, it says, He existed in the form of God. This is speaking of Jesus. Yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. So Jesus didn't have to do this, but he freely and willingly gave himself up to God and submitted himself to God and laid aside being God to become human. He was yet still God, but he became human. The Word made flesh who dwelt among us. The God person who became a human. He didn't lose his holiness. He didn't lose his sinless nature. But yet, he took on human flesh so that he could experience everything that you and I experience. So that he could live a life of sinless freedom as an example, but not just an example, as a substitution for us, because when he was punished, when he was incarcerated, when he was crucified, the sinless Son of God paid the price for all of mankind to receive forgiveness of sins, healing and deliverance and salvation in a new way. What an amazing God we serve. It says he humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. He was perfect example even in his death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God exalted him and multiplied his greatness. He now has been given the greatest of all names. The authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to his name. In the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and in the demonic realm, they will all submit to his name. The power of his name, the power of his blood will be released because of the power and the authority of his name. Every tongue will proclaim in every language, Jesus Christ is Lord Yahweh, bringing glory and honor to God the Father. Wow. Some people resist receiving Jesus. What a tragedy. What a tragedy, because all of this power is available to them, to be released in them, to be released to them and through them. Where it says Jesus Christ is Lord Yahweh, that really is translated from Aramaic, the language that Jesus would have spoken when he was here on earth. It was a form of Hebrew, but it was the language of the day. The Greek text uses the word Kyrios, which is not the highest name for God, but Yahweh, the Hebrew, or Jehovah, the Latin, is the highest name. Kyrios is a title also used for false gods, landowners, merchants, and nobles. The Greek language has no equal to the sacred name, the Tetragrammaton, okay, of Yahweh. Only Hebrew and Aramaic have that equivalent. This verse makes it clear that the name given to Jesus at his exaltation was Lord Jehovah or Lord Yahweh. The Hebrew name for Jesus is Yeshua, literally, God is a saving cry. Wow. Which bears and reveals the name Yahweh. Jesus carries the name and the reputation of his Father Yahweh within him. And if you want to read some more about that, John chapter 17, verse 11, talks about how Jesus and God were one, and how we are one with God the Father, just like Jesus, because of that. What an amazing thing. The name and the blood. The power of the name and the power of the blood. It's enough to set anybody free. Yes. It's enough to set everybody free. But you have to be a willing partner to receive the benefits of the name and the blood. Praise the Lord. there was a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Hallelujah. Verse 2 says, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. It's talking about the guy that died with Jesus there on the cross. And there may I, and you, us, as vile as he, wash all my sins away. He did it. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for us. Verse 3, dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Verse 4, ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. The only question is, who's going to take that message to the ones in need? Are we going to hear this here in this place and sit on it? Or are we going to take the message to the lost and dying world that's around us? Are we going to carry out the responsibility that we have to God for sending Jesus with his precious blood to die for us, only to keep it to ourselves? When Jesus said, go to the whole world, preach the gospel to all creation, and he even says this gospel would be preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. You and I are responsible for bringing Jesus back. But we have to take this message, the message of the blood, the message of the name, to those who have needs, to those who are hurting, to those who are desperate. If you came into this place today desperate, this is the right place for you to be, because you can leave your desperation behind and walk out with salvation, with healing, with deliverance, and with blessing. This is your time. This is your hour. This is the place. It's an appointment with God. You may think you came here by accident or somebody drug you here, but Jesus brought you here. He brought you here because he loves you. He brought you here because he cares about you. He brought you here because he sent Jesus to pay an awful price so that you could be free. The last verse says this, when this poor, lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing your power to save. What a prophetic word, actually. I'll close this part of the message with this. Writer named Ryan said this about it. He said, sometimes our sins seem overwhelming and damnable. These rise to our necks and threaten to drown us. But Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, or the God made like us. He will save us from our sins. For those who trust in him, he's taken away the punishment our sins deserve. And he will strip our sins of their power over us, taking away their allure, their appeal, and longevity. The more we see the strength and rebellion of our sin, the more we see the glory and the love involved in the work of Jesus for us. He is God with us, and this is good news worth celebrating, not just at Christmas, but all year long. O come Emmanuel. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's just pray. Father, thank you for this time and for this moment of time that you're speaking into our hearts and speaking into our lives, Father. The word that can set us free, the word that can lift us out of despair and destruction and desperation. Thank you, Jesus, that you were the word made flesh that dwelt among us. You're still dwelling among us in the presence of your Holy Spirit. You're living inside of us. And now today we come to you because we love you and appreciate everything that you did at the cross to set us free from the power of sin, to set us free from our own destructive habits and lives, to set us free to serve you and honor you and to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, just like you desired at the beginning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price. We can't thank you enough, and words can't express it well enough, the gratitude that you deserve for setting us free. So we look to you today for such a great salvation as is painted in the words of your scripture. We look to you today for such a great deliverance, for healing and blessing to flow in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.